Well, it is truly a blessing to be here. My wife and I have enjoyed the church, and I can tell you that last year when we came here, the reason we came is we're looking for a prophet's chamber, and we're traveling, and you know, sometimes you have a hard time finding the particular prophet's chambers, and you know, as missionaries, we're always looking for that a lot of times. You travel a lot, and we called here, and I get somebody wasn't at the phone, so I left a message. And now I'd called a lot of churches and left messages, but this was the only one who called back. I was so thankful. And not only called back, I said, call back. And I actually missed the call. And the recording I got from the secretary here, she said, we would love to have you come and stay in our prophet's chamber. Please call me back. I can't tell you that just that statement, what an encouragement that was. It was a wonderful encouragement. And I told my wife, she was encouraged. I told my son about it. He was encouraged. I mean, this is, you know, you start telling a lot of people. And so we came here and we had a wonderful time then. And in fact, my son, we told him to come to the conference. And he said, well, you know, this is just several days before the conference started. You know, they don't really know. I said, call them. They'd really like you to come. And so he called me back and he said, they were so nice to me. I said, oh, please come. And so it really was an encouragement. I just want you to know that means a lot. That, you know, being, because, you know, you think, you know, you travel a lot and you see a lot of people. And sometimes, you know, you are talking about God and trying to get God's word out to the world and that. But sometimes you just don't get encouraged like you're like getting. And boy, you've been doing that here. So it's been a blessing for us. I would like to tell you a little bit about what we're doing now. For 18 years, I worked in the Bearing Precious Seed El Paso Mission Trip Ministry. And when I talk, you hear me talk a lot about that because that's kind of how I got started in the ministry, started in missions. I was 49 at the time I came into missions, and you know what's a funny thing about that? I told God 10 years prior to that, I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll go anytime, I'll pay any cost. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I felt kind of spiritual saying that. Until things started going wrong right away. I said, I have all kinds of problems. Well, I was, at the time I said that, I was deep in debt. I had some, you know, I was foolish with credit card things. And for the next 10 years, God took me through some fire. But it was good. It was good. I'm going to try to explain a little, you know, now where's Brother Money? You know, we kind of got on him about being the problem. But what I want to tell you something about that, if you can understand that the problem is usually God's way of teaching you or bringing you, and behind the problem is this reward of your faith. And I mean, there's a wonderful thing about that. It is a good thing. If you can learn to love the problem, and I want to tell you something, I want to just say this, because this is a big point about problems we have in our lives. Problems come and we go, oh no, why do I have this problem? I don't want problems. I want things to go smooth. I want it to go well, but the Lord knows we need training, we need teaching, we need to grow, and that's where we grow. We grow in the valleys and the hard times. Those things make us turn to God, and that's where we learn, and the problem can do that. Now, as I was explaining with the problem, just the other side of that problem is the reward of faith. It is the glorious answer to prayer. It's what the story everybody wants to hear is on the other side of the problem. So if you can start thinking, I like problems. Now, I know that's kind of maybe a new thought, but if you start thinking, I like problems, I want to tell you something. Satan uses problems, corresponding with fear, to move you in the direction he wants you to go. And what he does, he doesn't necessarily want to send you off and to do some horrible thing, you know, some terrible thing. He doesn't need to do that. Just take you out of the way God wants you to go, to make you, you're still not doing necessarily anything bad, but you're basically becoming useless for God rather than useful. Satan knows how to just move you just a little bit, and he uses problems to do that. But if we look at problems and say, man, I like problems because I've got the great God of the universe, who's the God of the impossible, on my side, and of course I can't solve the problem. I can't move that mountain out of the road in front of you, but God can. Our job is to have the faith. Faith is important. It's important for our life here on this earth, and God says without faith it's impossible to please him because this is what faith is. It's believing everything in the book, not just what you want to, but everything that God says. God loves you. He loves you more than any, some of you ladies have little children. No, you love them dearly. You would protect them. You would give your life for them. God loves you more than that. And sometimes you think, well, why is God putting me through these things? I want to tell you something. A mother would not take a pin, poke it in the arm of a little baby just to make the baby cry. You think, oh, that's terrible. Well, if God loves you more than that, why do you think God's doing something bad that you get angry with God of something you're going through? Could it be you don't understand what God's doing? Did he not say, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, my ways than your ways? Do you understand that statement? That was a little glimpse of God's intelligence. Heavens higher than the earth. You know how high the heavens are from the earth? I mean, sky, universe, that's the second heaven. I mean, our closest star to this solar system is 4.5 light years. Well, 4.5, that's not a very big number. A light year? Well, that's how much light travels in a year. Now, if light travels 286,000 miles a second, you can take a calculator and figure it out. See, what is it? Somewhere around 34 million seconds, I think, in a year times 286,000. If you put that on a calculator, you'll probably get what I got in my calculator, which said, out of range. It's beyond, and to put it in a little perspective, if the space shuttle were to travel the distance of light travels in a year, it would take it over 1,000 years at 50,000 miles an hour, over 1,000 years. And our Milky Way that we're in, from one end to the other, is about 80,000 light years. It's like, why are we even measuring it? We're not going to get there. But God, now think about that, man. As the heavens are higher than the earth, wouldn't God, he knows what's going on. He wants you to trust him. That's where the faith comes in. And he will help you. He will be there. He wants you to have faith. He can't give you a victorious Christian life on this earth without faith. It was the same thing with the Israelites. Couldn't go into Canaan, the land filled with milk and honey, because the one thing they lacked was faith. If they had that, they could have gone in. It wasn't about armies. In fact, when they went into Canaan, God said, he says, these armies, you didn't defeat those armies, I did. And they were all mightier than you. God will do that for you. What God wants from us is for us to trust him. He is a good God. He does good things. It's just that we can't understand his plan. And a lot of times his plan is outside our realm of comfort. That doesn't mean we should complain to God. Do you know what complaining to God is? Saying, you know, I don't think you should have done this, something, whatever it is. Maybe you see something bad happen to somebody, you say that. Okay, you disagree with God then. Let's say God. Perfect, everlasting, never lasting, holy, never made a mistake, ever. And you, born in sin, hearts desperately wicked, can barely keep your checkbook straight, and you think that you're right and he's wrong? Good night. Think about that. You don't understand what's going on. Don't try to make a decision based on your limited understanding. God wants to trust him absolutely. Absolute trust. And believe me, God wants you to love him above all things. He has a wonderful, wonderful thing for you. Now, I better get back to what I'm talking about here. That was all free. Okay. BPS El Paso, the ministry there. I worked down there, and I went down. God took me right out of the pew, man. I didn't know what I was doing. I went down there, had about half support when I went there. And I basically had the first two weeks of the month, we got paid once a month. First 2 weeks of the month, we ate good. The second 2 weeks, we prayed for gas and everything else. And that wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. I mean, you think, well, I don't want to do something like that. But you know what that did? It taught me how to trust God. Do you know what? I tell people now, when I was on deputation, I was looking for support, and I'm not looking for support anymore, but when I was doing that, people say, well, what level are you at? What percent? You know, and I try to figure out what the percent was. But you know what? No matter what percent it was at, God always took care of me. He always did. When I needed something, I prayed, and God would give me things, and the mission trips, the good thing about those mission trips is they taught me how Satan worked. how fear, he uses fear. He can't kill you unless God says it's okay. So if God says it's okay, if it's okay with God, glory to God, it's okay with me. But in the meantime, I'm not going to worry about death. Because let me tell you something about death. Beside the fact that it's walking through a door right into glory, which, by the way, we ought to be happy about that. But death, if God is going to protect you, there is nothing on this planet, heaven or earth, that's going to hurt you, going to kill you. But on the other hand, if it's time for you to die, there's no tunnel, there's no cave you can hide in. That's going to change that. So why worry about it? Stand and live for the Lord. That's what he wants you to do. Now, I learned all these things on the mission trips, and the mission trip ministry down there, we've gone in and out of Mexico, and when we first started in 1996, everybody was always careful. We count professions of faith. We did that about 4 years, and we stopped doing it. Because, well, after 4 years, we were over 14,000. And the numbers were so high, nobody believed you anyway. But then people would say, yeah, but because, see, can't understand that because they look at this country. It doesn't relate. I mean, it couldn't be. And they'd say, but how many of those professions were real? And I'd say, that's an easy answer to that question. Every single one that believed. So you want to decide who didn't and who did, you know, then you got to get a little trouble there judging and God and all that. So you don't mess with that. But anyway, it was a tremendous time for me. My wife and I, when we first went on the mission trips, I had a lot of fears. I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave what I had. I didn't want to leave my job, my home, my friends, my church. Those things were my security. Basically, they're my fears, but it was my security. I held on to them. It was like having little copper coins, 4 copper coins in my hand, these security, I did not want to let go. God said, let them go. I don't want to let them go. This is important to me. Because when you let that go, then there's nothing but unknown in front of you. God said, let it go. So finally, when I opened my hand, I let all those things go. God was able to fill it with gold. When I say gold, I mean joy, peace, love, honor. All the blessings God wants to give you. But he wants you complete trust in him. One of the things God wanted me to do, and as I said, 10 years prior to that, I said, God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll go anytime, I'll pay any cost. Now, what I was doing when I said that was basically giving up my will to what I thought I should do with my life, giving it to God. You know, I don't know if God wants anybody in this auditorium to be a missionary to Mexico or somewhere else in the country, but I can tell you one thing I know God would like you to do. He would like you, personally, to him and say, God, I'll go anywhere. I'll go anytime. I'll do anything. I'll pay any cost. Because what you do there is you give your will to your life over to him. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about that later, but the other thing, other BPS El Paso is Bearing Precious Seed, the Bibles. I don't have one of them with me, but the Bibles, let me just say something about John and Romans. And we pass those out in Mexico like tracts. We hand them out, the Book of John, Book of Romans. They print them in about 40 different languages. And God says his word doesn't return void. So what's the cost of those things? Well, a John of Romans, we print them, Bearing Precious Seed prints them for about 2 for a quarter. That doesn't seem like very much. Quarter, 2 John of Romans. Now let me tell you about the John of Romans himself. The book itself is a paperback book. And they did this study about this thing, and they said the books usually last, because they're paperback, they don't last that long, but they go through anywhere from 7 to 9 people who actually pick up the book, look at it, some read it, some don't, some throw it back. But anyway, 7 to 9 people will pick up that one book. And out of those 7 to 9 people, on average, one person will come to Christ. So what's the cost of a soul? I can tell you what the value of the soul is. The death of God. That's the value of soul. The cost, 2 for a quarter. Only God could come up with something like that. Our God is a good God. He does good things.